Last Sunday morning, we considered together the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit as it relates to our salvation. We understand that the Holy Spirit of God is intrinsically and immediately involved in our salvation experience. We considered last week four things that He does at the very moment that a person puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We understand that the Spirit of God was there to regenerate the believer. That being that He imparts to us a new life in Christ. All things are, old things are all passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He gives to us a new nature, a new life in Christ, one that is abundant and free. We also consider that the Holy Spirit of God baptizes the believer, or He places the believer into the body of Christ. At the very moment of our faith in Christ, we are placed into and we become part of the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit not only baptizes us into that body, but He also secures us in that body, for He becomes the earnest of our salvation. That earnest which He will then seal us unto the day of our redemption. Our eternity, our salvation is secure because of that work of the Spirit as He who seals us into the body of Christ. The final blessing that we considered last week is the truth that the Holy Spirit of God, at the very moment of our salvation, takes up residence within your life and mine. The Bible says that He indwells the believer, and He ministers to our spirit. And we want to consider some more of those thoughts today when we talk about the relationship of the Holy Spirit of God in our life day to day. No wonder why the aged Apostle John would say in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God lives within us, and He takes up residence within us. And He not only was intrinsically and immediately involved at the moment of your salvation, but He day by day is involved in your life and my life. And He has a wonderful, marvelous ministry within our lives if we are but willing to allow Him to do that work. This morning we want to see that work that He performs in order that you and I might be strengthened in our walk in service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we go any further though this morning, let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time and study of His Word. Our Heavenly Father, we come and we gather before You this morning thankful for the work of the Spirit of God. We thank You that at the very moment of our salvation He gave to us a new life and placed us into the body of Christ. He then sealed us in that body. Our salvation is secure. But Lord, I'm so thankful that He has taken up permanent residence within my life, and He now ministers to me day by day. And Lord, I pray that we would understand that ministry of the Spirit of God within our lives each and every day. And that we would learn to draw upon that working of the Spirit of God, that we might walk by faith and not by sight, and walk in a way that is worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We'll thank You, Lord, and praise You for what will be accomplished because of our time and our study this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All mankind was made that he might fellowship with God. God made us that we might enjoy fellowship with Him. Yeah, we find very early on in the Old Testament, in fact, by just the first few chapters of the book of Genesis, that man disrupted that fellowship because of sin. When sin entered into the world, the fellowship with God became broken. But God intended that we would know fellowship. When sin entered the world and that fellowship was broken, so entered into the world loneliness. It has been said that loneliness is one of the most pervasive problems in our generation. You consider the fact that there are people all around us in the world today. There are billions of people upon the face of the earth, some estimating over 7 billion people upon the face of the earth. And yet, how many folks struggle with the thoughts of loneliness? Men can bring around him many people and yet still feel so lonely. Contentment and joy really comes only as we have fellowship with God. And once that fellowship is restored through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're able to enjoy a daily communion and fellowship with Him through the Spirit of God. Although the world is overcome today with loneliness, the Christian should know nothing of such an experience. From the very moment of your salvation to the point of our glorification, the Spirit of God has taken up residence within us. We are never alone. Although we may at times struggle and fear overwhelmed, we would be wise to remember the words that we read this morning in Romans 8, verse 26, which simply tell us that the Spirit of God helps our infirmities. The Spirit of God has a ministry among us that we might be able to walk in strength and power. And every believer needs to learn to draw upon that supernatural spiritual strength given to us by the Holy Spirit, that we might be able ever to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, I want us to consider how the Spirit of God helps the saint. And I believe there are four marvelous ministries that the Spirit of God accomplishes in the life of the believer as we then learn to wait upon the Lord. I want you to see those with me this morning. First of all, I want you to see that the Spirit of God has a ministry to instruct the believer. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to instruct the believer. Look at John chapter 16 and look with me beginning in verse 12. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, has a ministry within your life today, if you will allow it, of instruction. He will teach you in the truth of God. You know, many Christians believe that if they read their Bibles every day, they will grow, grow, grow. We teach that song to our kids, and that's a good song. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And we've kind of become accustomed to the thought that if I just read my Bible, that's all that I need. I just need to read it, and I'll be okay. No, in essence, reading your Bible is not enough. It's important that we will learn to study it and learn from it. Paul would tell Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is most important in our life when it comes to the Word of God is not how much we read it, but how much of it is now in us and affecting us. You can read your Bible and ignore it, and you will not grow, grow, grow. It's as we read the Bible, allow the Spirit of God to be our teacher and our instructor, and apply that truth to our life, then we will grow and grow and grow. And the Spirit of God has a ministry to instruct us in the ways of truth. Matter of fact, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 reminds us that we are to allow the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly. That Word of God is to dwell within us. That Word of God is to have an effect upon our life. Again, 2 Timothy 2:15, we are to study and show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, able to divide the word of truth correctly. None of that is possible, though, until first Christ dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It is once the Spirit of God now has taken up residence within your life that the things of the Word of God can be made plain and can be understood. And the Bible tells us in John's Gospel that the wonderful blessing of the Spirit of God is that He will instruct you in the truth. He will show you the things that we need to know. He instructs the saints. We grow in grace and knowledge as the Spirit of God instructs us in the Word of God, and we then apply that Word of truth to our daily practice. You realize that each and every one of us has the wonderful blessing and privilege to sit in the classroom of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but there are certain people in my life that I look back to who were teachers that always had an impact. There were teachers that I enjoyed sitting under. I love their ministry to us. There were certain professors that we had in college that I tried to take every class that I could fit into my schedule because I loved their ministry of teaching and I learned so much from them. It was a privilege to sit under their class of their ministry. But the greater privilege is this for you and I. We get to sit in the classroom of the Spirit of God, and He takes the Word of God and He instructs us in the truth. There are many times that I'll come home from a time of study and I'll simply say something like this to my wife: "That was fun tonight." You know why it's fun? It's fun when you come and you gather around your Bible and you may pick up some resources and study helps and you begin to look through it, and quite frankly, there's not a whole lot there. But it's fun when the Spirit of God begins to open your eyes and your understanding and allow you to behold wonderful things from His Word, and He shows you and He teaches you and He instructs you. What a blessing! And every one of us who has the Spirit of God within our life has the opportunity to sit in His classroom and to be taught and instructed of Him. He is able to take the Word of God and make it plain and make it clearer. As a child of God, we have the guarantee of this instruction because, first of all, we have an anointing. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, we're told this: "But the anointing which we have received of Him," speaking of the Spirit, "abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." You and I have been given the anointing of the Spirit of God, and He will teach us and instruct us. He illuminates us. He gives us understanding. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, we find these words: "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints." The Spirit of God has a wonderful ministry of teaching us. He has been given as an anointing to us. He lives within us, and He becomes our appointed teacher. The Lord Jesus said that the Spirit of God, when He comes, will guide you into all truth. He will teach you all things. What does the Spirit of God teach us? Let me point out two things I believe the Spirit of God will teach us. Number one, I believe that the Holy Spirit will guide us in the ways of God. He will guide us in the ways of God. As we come to the Word of God and as we study the Word of God, He will guide us in those ways of God. I love the words of Psalm 32 and verse 8. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine own eye." What a blessing. God directs us according to His way. And His way is known as we come and we seek the instruction of the Spirit of God in the Word of God. Do you want to know the way of God? The way of God is revealed in the Word of God by the Spirit of God. He instructs us and guides us in the way of God. He also will guide us in the will of God. He guides us in the will of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Lord, what is Your will for me? God will direct you, and He will teach you His will. Again, God's will never be led or given to us apart from His Word. Sometimes folks will come and say, I'm convinced this is the will of God for my life. But you know what the problem is? What they believe is God's will for their life does not match up with the Word of God. And folks, it cannot be the will of God because it doesn't come from the Word of God, and the Spirit of God will never lead us apart from the Word of God. But in His Word, He will instruct us and guide us in the very will of God. How do we know what we should do, and how do we know where we should go? We find that as we submit to the ministry of the Spirit of God, who will instruct the believer. You and I have a wonderful blessing. The Spirit of God lives within us, and He is there to minister to us and to instruct us in the ways of truth. We are never alone. When you grab your Bible in the morning, in the afternoon, or in the evening, and you sit down with that Word of God and you begin to read it, you are not reading that alone. He is ever with you, and He desires to teach you and instruct you. He is as a personal tutor to you. We ought to come and ask Him, Lord, what would You have me to learn? Teach me through Thy Word. By the way, I'm confident that He understands the Word pretty well. He oversaw the writing of it. It was the Holy Spirit of God that inspired the men of God who wrote the Word of God. And He who lives within now wants to teach us and instruct us in that truth. But there's another ministry I want you to see. Not only does He instruct the believer, but the Spirit also imparts power to the believer. He imparts power to the believer. It's a blessing that the Holy Spirit of God willingly teaches all that we need to know, and He instructs us in the ways of righteousness. Yet you and I realize that knowledge alone is not enough. How often do you know what is right but fail to do it? Never been there? After you've done something, you say, boy, I knew what was right, but I still didn't do it. No, we often say, I'm just too tired. I don't know that I have the strength to do what's right. It's just too hard. He instructs us in the truth, but then He imparts to us the power to live in that truth. Sometimes in our own strength, we can't accomplish it, and we can't. But the Spirit of God lives within us that He might empower us to do what He instructs us. I love the old phrase that has often been shared: behind every command of God is His omnipotence. And that omnipotence, folks, lives within you in the form of the Spirit of God. He who is all-powerful lives within your heart and ministers to your life, and He is able to impart to you the power to live. We often feel, though, that we're just too weak. Don't feel bad about that feeling, by the way. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Paul said, boy, there are days I just feel weak. The outward man just wants to fade away. But thankfully, the inward man can be renewed day by day. Isaiah declared in Isaiah chapter 40 that even the youth shall faint. But it's they that wait upon the Lord that will renew their strength, that will mount up with wings as eagles, that will run and not be weary, that will walk and not faint. The Spirit of God is given that we might be given the power to live for the Lord. Every believer has that source of power available to him. I want you to notice two things with me this morning about the Spirit's empowerment. Number one, the Spirit empowers us to serve. The Holy Spirit of God who lives within us desires to empower you to serve. Go over to Acts chapter 1 for a moment. Acts chapter 1. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to empower us in our service for the Lord. Did you know that you and I do not live the Christian life in our own strength? We're not to live it in our own power, but we are to live it under the power and the influence of the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 1, we find the Lord Jesus in His final words, right before He is to ascend back to heaven, given to His disciples. He tells them that they are to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, that promise being the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And notice what He says in chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive, what's the next word? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You'll be reminded that the Holy Spirit of God had not yet taken up permanent residence in any man until the beginning of the church, the day of Pentecost. From that moment on, when one came to Christ, that Spirit of power would come and indwell them. But they were waiting for that day in which the Spirit would come. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus said to him that you will receive power. Power to do what? Serve Him. For ye shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And that was not going to be an easy task. But after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. The Spirit of God empowers us to serve. And second, the Spirit of God empowers us to stand against sin. The Spirit of God empowers us to stand against sin. You can go to Romans chapter 6 for just a moment. Romans chapter 6. In Romans 6, the question is asked, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? Paul's answer, God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Wherefore we are buried with Him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The question is, should we continue in sin that God's grace may abound? The answer, no. Because God saved you by His grace that you might walk in newness of life. We're told in verse 11 to reckon ourselves indeed dead unto sin and alive unto Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of God that is able to strengthen us and help us stand against the temptation of sin. The Lord Jesus said it this way to His disciples, watch and pray with me, for the Spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And folks, in our flesh, we are weak. But if we would learn to do as the Bible said, we would be able to stand against sin. And what's the Bible tell us about our Christian life and experience? It tells us to walk in the Spirit, and ye will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, we are told not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but instead to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be under His control. Why? That we might be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil and every temptation that comes our way. That we might be in the praise and the glory and the honor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of God that empowers us to serve, and He empowers us to stand against sin. We would do very well to remember the words found in Zechariah's prophecy, in which he says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit saith the Lord of hosts. Life is to be lived under the influence and the power of the Spirit of God. And he has been given that he might impart to you that power. There's a third ministry of the Spirit I want you to see with me this morning. And that's found in Romans 8, verse 26. We read it this morning in our scripture reading. The Spirit of God intercedes for the believer. The Spirit of God intercedes for the believer. In Romans 8, verse 26, we find, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Ever been there? Lord, I don't even know how to pray about this one. I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to say. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What a wonderful truth. That the Holy Spirit of God intercedes for us before the throne of grace. He takes our requests and our petitions that we don't even know how to pray for and offers them before our Heavenly Father. Have you ever said thoughtlessly to someone, I'll pray for you, and then failed to do it? Sometimes that's the easy answer when someone begins to share some need. And sometimes we say it awful quickly because we really don't want to hear the need that they have to share. We would prefer to go on with our day. So I'll pray for you. But sometimes we never intend to truly pray for someone. You know what Romans chapter 8 tells us? That the Spirit of God is ever faithful to pray for us. There is none more faithful to intercede and pray for us than God Himself. When you and I lack the words ourselves to pray, He, knowing the need, eloquently brings that before the Lord, that the need might be met. This week in my study, I found some statements made by Pastor Chuck Phelps in his study on the Holy Spirit. Dr. Phelps is currently pastoring down in Indiana, wonderful man of God. I love what he said about the ministry of the Spirit. He says, when we pray selfishly, He, the Spirit, prays faithfully. When we pray sporadically, the Spirit prays consistently. The Spirit of God has given Himself to a ministry of interceding for us. He prays for us. Have you ever felt alone in prayer? Have you ever carried a burden that you yourself felt you're the only one carrying? Here's the blessing. Every time you and I enter into the prayer room and every time we enter into our closet to pray, we are not alone. There is someone kneeling beside us who is praying with us, who is praying for us, and He is the Holy Spirit of God. We are never alone when we pray. And when you and I come to a point in our prayer that we can't even continue, the Spirit of God picks up and He knows the heart and He begins to lay it before the throne of grace. He helps our infirmities. He intercedes for us. By the way, that somewhat changes the meaning of the Lord's words in the Gospels. That when two or three of you agree upon earth of anything, I'll bind it in heaven. I read that this week in the context of the work of the Spirit of God and the fact that I'm not alone. That kind of changes my thinking a little bit. Sometimes I may feel that I'm the only one praying, but I'm not. The Spirit who lives within me will guide me and direct me in my prayer, and He Himself will pray with me and for me. There's a final thought I want us to say just briefly. The Spirit of God insulates the believer. He insulates the believer. Job 5 verse 7 says that man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. You know, we all face days of adversity. We all face days of trouble. Yet the child of God is able to face every day with confidence, because the Spirit of God is ever faithful and He is ever reliable. And He is given that He might protect and insulate us from the troubles and trials of this world. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 19, the Bible tells us that He aids us in times when we're vulnerable. The Spirit of God is there to aid us in those times where we feel vulnerable. The reference there is when you're standing before some and you're drawn into the councils and there to be able to give an account. And the Lord Jesus would simply say, don't even take thought for what you will say. Why? Because the Spirit of God is going to direct you in the words. He's going to keep you at those times where you feel most vulnerable. He is there to minister to us. In Romans chapter 8 verse 16, Paul tells us that the Spirit of God aids us in times of confusion. Verse 16 says that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Sometimes folks just feel confused. They feel like all have forgotten them and all have forsaken them and things are just too hard. Maybe I'm really not a child of God. Here's the reality. The Spirit of God ministers to our spirit and He allows us to know that we are the children of God. And as children, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Verse 17. In days of our confusion, He is there to aid us and to help us. What a wonderful blessing that's been bestowed upon us who are the sons of God. The Spirit of God was intimately and immediately involved on the day of your salvation. He regenerated you and gave you a new life. He placed you into the body of Christ by that baptism. He sealed you in that body, knowing that you would be forever secure, placed in the very hands of Almighty God. And when we're in the hands of Almighty God, no one is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. Our salvation is secure. He is our guarantee. And He took up residence within us. He indwells us and He lives within us for the purpose that He might minister to us day by day. What's He do? Where every day, if we'll let Him, He'll instruct us in the ways of God, the will of God, through the Word of God. He wants to teach us all truth. Not only does He want to instruct us, but the Bible makes it very clear that He wants to impart to us the power. Knowledge isn't just enough. You've got to be able to walk in that knowledge and live according to that truth. And the Spirit of God, who is the omnipotent God who lives within you, will strengthen you and help you each day to live for Him. He'll come alongside of you and He will pray with you and He will pray for you, intercede on your behalf. And He insulates you from the trials and troubles of this world. And in all, He walks with you. The Bible says that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He cares for His own. The wonderful ministry of the Spirit of God. He continually is involved in your life day by day, if you let Him. The sad reality is that there are very few today who understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God within their life. Oh, they're thankful that they're saved, and they're thankful they have a church, and they're thankful that they have the Bible that they can read when they get around to it. They're thankful that they can pray, and they're thankful for Christian fellowship when it's available to them. Oh, what a wonderful blessing these things are, but we are missing out every day on the wonderful blessing of being able to fellowship with Almighty God, and you and I were made for that fellowship. Only sin separates us from that fellowship. But God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, provided a way of salvation that fellowship can restore. And He gives to us the Spirit of God that we might know that day by day. He wants to minister to you. Are you letting Him? Will you let Him teach you? Will you let Him empower you? Will you let Him pray with you and pray for you? Will you allow Him to keep you from the days of trouble and guide you in the ways of righteousness? Or will you seek to live this life in your own strength and in your own power? Yet the Lord made it very clear to Zechariah, it's not by might and it's not by power. And that word power there is more in reference to our power, our strength, our fortitude. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, that we walk and that we live by faith. The Holy Spirit of God truly is a friend in time of need and strength for struggling saints. Let's pray.